Hi guys, and welcome back to the Martial Arts For You podcast. Today, I have got the lovely Kay with me. How are you doing?
I'm right, thank you.
Are you nervous?
Yeah.
You are? We're a bit nervous. Kay's literally just asked me, have you not got a script or anything? I was like, no, no script, we're just going to go for it. So the biggest reason why we're doing this podcast is just for everybody to kind of get to know you a little bit more. Yeah. Obviously the students, maybe some of the other instructors, or just people from around the world that want to get to know you a little bit more. So I think a really good place to start would be, why did you start martial arts?
I don't know if mine's going to be slightly different to everybody else's, but I started because me and my partner were out of shape. So we wanted to do something together. I'd always done like the gym, netball, things by myself, so we were doing something together. So that's how we started, and then it just went from there.
Yeah, I think that's where we all start, isn't it? It just starts by training. Because how old are you when you started?
I was 28.
28.
But obviously I'm only like 30 now, obviously.
30, obviously, yeah. She's black belt, she fast tracked, didn't you? No, she didn't really, she went all the way through the belt. So it was more just kind of being out of shape, was it?
Out of shape, and within like the first 6 months of starting, I'd lost 2 stone, which obviously my instructor Craig proudly told everybody at graduation. Oh. I told him privately, did not want it announcing, but yeah, I lost 2 stone within the first 6 months, so it was a good achievement, yeah.
Oh god, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Quite a bit heavier than
No, brilliant. So what obviously when you started, obviously quite unfit, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening right now have all been in a similar boat. I think it's different when you start when you're a child.
Yeah.
Because I was like 10 when I started. I think when a child starts, it's normally confidence or bullying or stuff like that. Whereas I think a lot of adults that are maybe listening right now, fitness, health, losing weight are really them core reasons why people get started. So it was about 6 months when you started seeing benefits then?
So about 6 months when I started, like when I saw like a massive benefit. But don't get me wrong, obviously confidence was a real thing that I've grown in, because when I first started, I was shy. I mean, obviously, again, Craig will tell you, I wouldn't come on my own. When I first came through the door on my own, there was like a big like hoo-ha, and I was like, oh, I was so scared about coming anyway.
Oh, legend.
So yeah, confidence is massively, I couldn't, like now obviously I'm an instructor, I talk in front of people all the time, but could not have done that before.
And what other, obviously I know that you lost weight, which is an amazing thing, but I think a lot of people think that losing weight, that's kind of the only thing. What other benefits did you gain? You said confidence, but is there
confidence,
anything else?
Obviously it's really good for mental health. Obviously I suffer less with like downwards kind of spirals, because obviously I try and get enough stress, anger. So I used to obviously work in office, I used to work in finance when I first started, and that was quite stressful. Obviously people at you all the time, deadlines and whatnot, and it was really nice to kind of go from that to training, get it all out, and then feel better about it. So yeah, definitely mental health is a massive thing, I think, with kickboxing.
100%. I think I hear so many people. I know with myself, it kind of kept me on a great path.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Especially growing up, being a teenager, I look at maybe some other people that are my age, I'm like, man, I could have gone down that path. So it keeps you on that straight and narrow. And there is, I think that just hearing what you've said there is just so many benefits.
I think another one is like the social. Oh, my best friend is from kickboxing. So therefore, obviously, a lot of my close friends are people that I've met through the club.
Definitely.
So, yeah,
well, me and
aspect.
Kay, we talk a lot, Kay. We do this. We literally do this,
but
we don't record. So remember, we talk about everything that we talk about normally. But I think a big thing that, I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, is that like friendship is so important to you, isn't it?
100%.
Like so important. So the fact you've been able to create them friendships that truly do last a lifetime is just amazing. So obviously you started... obviously you had that amazing weight loss, which well done. I know it's a bit late, but congratulations, that's awesome. And then obviously you were you were training.
Yeah.
So why did you start teaching?
So initially, because I enjoyed fitness, I always have done. I wanted to do something like qualified wise. I wanted to kind of go down. Initially, my idea was to go down the PT route, which I am a PT.
You are, yes.
But I'm also.
We'll talk about Kay's qualifications very soon. She's got plenty.
I did my fitness instructor level 2, and then I just said to Craig, you know, as part of my assessment, I needed to do something practical. And like I said, I wasn't very confident, so I said, can I take some warm ups, because it'll give me that confidence that when I do my assessment, I've already done something in front of people.
Yeah.
And Craig being Craig would then just disappear.
Mr. Long? No, definitely not.
So I got some obviously class content, I got some confidence up in that, and obviously then I did like the CIT program and kind of went down that route. So I did obviously like my fitness instructor, my personal trainer while I was doing that. And then obviously we opened Tadcaster.
You did.
So me and Rich Turnbull, and we had that for, oh, I don't even know how long before we kind of came to you guys.
Probably a couple of years.
Yeah, I reckon about 2.
I'm sure it was, it was probably about 2 years. So it was kind of like an accident, a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously you wanted to get knowledge and experience, but actually becoming an instructor, did it just kind of
It just happen? Kind of happened, yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened, like, kind of, I guess, like, what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for?
Just fell into place. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I think a lot of people that I talk to, I'm like, oh, because I spoke to John and Alicia last week, and it is a lot of people, it just kind of
happens.
It just kind of happens, because I was quite similar. Because I just started by, I was probably about 12, 13, and I just started holding pads in the classes. And oh, I can remember like the first time that Craig said, oh, do you want to do a warm up? And I was like, no. I was like, I can't do it, because I was so nervous. And I think that I think you're quite similar in a sense, and I heard you say it to me before, that especially because where you were doing it
was where I trained.
Yes. Talk about that a little bit more.
I think, like, because what I was a black belt, I think, by the time I started on. I was maybe a pro, I was in my senior belts at least. But a lot of people obviously that I was kind of doing warm-ups for or starting to teach were people that were black belts long before I'd even kind of got there. So there were people that were very kind of established in the club, and I guess you kind of get that feeling that you think, oh my God, they're judging you, or they're thinking, oh, I could do better. And yeah, it's probably, most of it's probably in your head, but you've just got that opinion that because they've been there longer and because they've got more experience than you, you think, oh my God, I'm being judged, or, you know, and it kind of like, you've got to be really, like, really gain that confidence to go, right, okay, actually I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I think it was much easier when we went to Tadcaster, because these were brand fresh new people. They didn't have a clue. I think I could have done anything, and they've been like, yeah, Miss says we're gonna do that.
That's true. So, yeah. That is so true. It is. But I think that will also be why you are such a great instructor now as well, because I think that having to be in that position where you stand up as that leader, because I truly believe, and this is why I love martial arts, is that you can learn off anyone.
Yeah.
Even if they are. I once watched, like, it was like a mini dragon, and he did, like, made up his own kick. I was like, that is cool. I was like, and if I wanted to, I'd be like, you could teach that. You could learn from that. Do you know what I mean? And even with some of the guys that aren't the highest of belts, do you know what I mean? Maybe they're not a senior belt yet. You can still learn from each other so much. And it's exactly the same with teaching as well, because you might teach it just slightly different to how Craig teaches it.
Yeah.
And everybody learns differently, and that's the beauty of it. So you opened Tadcaster, obviously, and that grew, didn't it? You were doing really, really well there. And then obviously we came together.
Yeah, we came together.
And then obviously that then went into Thorpe Arch. Yeah. And how did you find all that transition from obviously Tadcaster to then coming with martial arts for you to then obviously having Thorpe Arch? How was that journey to Thorpe Arch?
I think, like, obviously it was good, because I felt supported. Obviously I had a lot of contact with you and your dad, so therefore that support, and then obviously having that bigger network of everybody else that was involved was great. I mean, it was, for me, it was obviously a big step, because we'd gone from kind of this small club to this, like, obviously massive club.
Yes.
And there was a lot of pressure, obviously, with you keep saying super club to me.
Super centre. Woo!
And I was just like, oh my
no
God.
No pressure.
But no, I think we've done all right. Obviously, it's still growing. We've had COVID.
Really?
And everything
thrown at us. Pandemic? Mm. Did that happen?
But yeah, we've had all that. So yeah, I think, like, moving from, like, that small club, that kind of close-knit as well, because we've obviously had close-knit people, and not all of it, unfortunately, not all of them came with us. Some of them did, some of them still with us, some of them are not, and that's just obviously the way things roll. But it's nice to have, I think, some consistency with some of the students that are still with us, but also have to all those new faces that kind of join and make that kind of
community.
Connections, and yeah,
I like that. I think that is, when you've got a smaller school, I think that you automatically do have that, what's the word? Well, if you think about it, let's say Tadcaster had like 60 members, let's say, but because it was a small gym, it almost felt that it was full.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's so many, whereas then you move into this, like, big centre, it's like you've got double more than double the amount of members easily, but it's so big, so it makes such a difference, doesn't it? I think that just for you guys that are listening as well, we literally signed the lease, like, about three, four months. We signed a 10-year lease for, like, a 5,000 square foot building, like, 4 months before COVID. So we'd, like, just got going, and then we'd just be, like, open, close, but it's going really, really well there. It's absolutely booming at the moment. Still need to grow, just need to impact more people. One thing that I really want to ask you is, you've got obviously the age groups, and I asked John and Alicia this, but I really want to know is, you've obviously got the Mini Dragons, you've got the Ninja Kids, female only, you also do boxing, trampolining, what do we call it? Bounce, that's the word. We don't do people be thinking we've actually got proper trampoline. The little ones. But out of them classes, which one is your favourite to teach and why?
It's got to be adults, because obviously I think being that little bit older, obviously I connect better with the adults, so you can have that rapport, you have that banter. We've got some really good guys at Thorpe Arch as well, and again, just making kind of those friendships. But from the kids, I think the Mini Dragons, obviously, because they're like brand new, kind of like...
They're fresh.
They're brand new, they're kind of like new palettes, so obviously you can start with them, you can take them from scratch and obviously build them up. And also, obviously, they're the cutest kind of, obviously, because they're so tiny.
They are so cute. They just get away with it, don't they? That's what I say. Just get away with it.
But yeah, I like both, obviously. Like, I do like the kids. Obviously, we like the Ninja Kids. I like the Ninja Kids too.
Anybody listening, we're not saying that we don't like the ones who've not said it. I think it's really interesting to hear it. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that, I can't remember, but I think John said Ninja Kids and Alicia said Mini Dragons. It's so interesting to see how we gravitate towards different age groups. I love the Mini Dragons. I teach Mini Dragons every day.
See, I think it changes the more that I do with the job, and it depends what people we've got. If we've got, like, obviously if we had loads of, I guess, nightmares, then maybe Mini Dragons would be like my favourite. Yes. Like, I do like those two. I guess it's like the opposite ends of the scale, isn't it?
So, it is. Yeah. I think that I know in my time in martial arts, I've met, and I use the word nightmares there, and it is, I think that, let's think of a different word to that. No, it's okay. Like, children that need martial arts, that's what I think of it as, because I think the children that come in that maybe have behavioural issues, or can't listen, or can't focus, or they're just crazy, like, they've got so much energy, they're the kids that need it the most, do you know what I mean? And to be able to see them come in, and I'm thinking of people right now, they can't even sit still while you're giving them the combination.
See, I don't mind those children, I think, on their own, but if you've got, like, 5 or 10 of the same children in the class, that's when it's like, wow, okay, this is a lot.
And how do you, if that ever happens, because obviously it does happen, we don't vet the students before they come in, a little quiz. Normally the parents give us a heads up, though, which is good. They're like, he's a bit of a handful, we need some work with him. But how do you find best to, I don't want to use the word deal with, but how do you find you get the best out of them type of children?
I guess that's a difficult one. Like, obviously, I've been told I'm too strict. I mean, I don't think I'm too strict. I think I'm strict enough. I think we've got the right level. I think it's a lot easier if you've got, like, obviously a range of those children, but you've got some existing students, because they already know the process of how everything works. They know, like, they'll lock them up. They know that they need to bow, please and thank yous, all those kind of things. They know they need to sit in lines when we say sit in lines. They know what's expected of them. But if you've got, like, obviously brand new, obviously it's just kind of reiterating those and getting them so that they know that that's the standard that we're looking for.
Yes.
When I say lock them up, you guys need to sit down, you need to be quiet, because obviously we need to tell you something. And those instructions obviously need to be told, because to keep them safe, to keep the class moving, and all those things. So it's just getting those, I guess, standards as a standard.
Yeah. You know? No. And how long would you say, let's say a child comes in and they have got problems when it comes to listening, behaviour, focus, answering back, how long do you think it takes a child being in our classes to get to a point where they are improving them skills?
I think normally you can see it within a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Especially, obviously, like I say, if you've got other kids in the class that already know kind of what's going on, they kind of see that behaviour and think, oh, that's actually what I've got to do. Even like we've had a child and he's got, it's not like behavior, it's confidence. He's so shy. But we've had him for 3 or 4 weeks now.
and he will talk. He wouldn't talk at all at first. Oh. He'll come up, he stands in his stance and guard, he's stopped looking at mum so much, and it's so nice to see that kind of growing, and I can't wait to see where he goes with it.
Yeah.
His skills are fine. He knows that punching and kicking, he's getting there with that. But that confidence thing is obviously like massive, and I think that's like for us, it's like rewarding to see that like progression.
You like lit up then.
Yeah.
Like, I know you guys can see that.
I can see the child in my head.
But it is, you did. You almost lit up then, because it is. It's so rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that this is what people don't understand about martial arts. Is that, and maybe not just martial arts, but as in like giving children opportunities to learn these skills, because it's all fair and well parent going, you need to listen to me, you need to focus, you need to do all these things. But I think the way that we do it in classes with the lock 'em ups and with the bows, courtesy and respect, and always remember them please and thank yous, it's doing it in a practical environment. Do you know what I mean? And a majority of children, well, sorry, I say majority, I don't know the statistics of this, but children will probably learn practically.
Yeah.
By doing it. Do you know what I mean? Rather than being, you need to say this, you need to do that, by them doing it, they then get praise. Well done for doing that. Great, thank you. Great bow. Wow, you guys were loud, and then lock them up. It then just reminds them that this is what I need to do. Yeah. I think that I want to go back to what you were saying, obviously, when you started. Obviously, you were wanting to tone up, you wanted to lose weight, wanted to live a healthier life. And I don't know whether you ever heard this, but the amount of times I hear adults saying to me, I just need to get fitter, and then I'll come.
It drives me nuts.
It
drives me nuts, because obviously, as you know, so, you know, I've saved my own classes outside of obviously martial arts for you, but to sit for anybody to say, well, I need to get fitter, it's like, well, Where do you go to get fitter? Like, what is it you're doing before you start in this place? Is there like a magic little place, a magic gym, where you get fitter first, in like without anybody there, before you come to us? No, you start with us, and that's how you get fitter.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're going to come in and everybody's like an amazing like athlete. There's all people at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like, obviously, especially like with your ladies' classes, there's lots of beginners that end up in there because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
So therefore you will grow with everybody else, and like, don't ever feel that like when you come in it's going to be like awful. We have a fight team for a reason, and the fight team go to fight team training. We're not going to stick a beginner in there. You know what I mean? We're going to stick you in the class, and we're going to make you feel comfortable, and everybody that's been like that's in that class has been a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them will try and look after you as the same as we would.
Yeah.
So it's like having that, you know, you need to be comfortable starting there. And yeah, it's so frustrating. Like, I'll come when I get fitter. Like, okay, where are you going in the meantime?
Yeah, I always think that. And I always, if anybody ever says that to me, I always say, would you wait until your kid was smart until you sent it to school?
No.
Because you wouldn't. You wouldn't be like, you're not smart enough to go yet. I just need to work with you a little bit more so you don't go in there and, you know, embarrass yourself, something like that. And I think that's honestly, it goes through the students' minds. I think it's adults that usually say that. But it all stems down to confidence.
Yeah.
Again, always stems down to confidence. And I think, I know, especially with myself, I've been able to flourish by doing martial arts, the confidence that it's given me. And I want to talk about competing a little bit, because I think that's definitely helped me with my confidence. But I remember the first ever tournament I went to, I was an orange belt. So I must have been about 11. And I turned up, and there was like, always, the women's category is always quiet, which is frustrating. I hate that. But I think there was about 5 or 6 in there. Anyway, I got absolutely beaten up. I was sixth. I was like last. But every year that I kept going back, I almost built my way up until I was eventually the one at the top. Do you know what I mean? Sparring the same people, fighting the same people. And that, for my confidence, was crazy. Don't get me wrong. When I first went to my first tournament, my confidence was almost shattered. Because I thought I was amazing. Do you know what I mean? I did. I thought I was great. I was like, oh my God, I'd done dancing. I'd done all this. So I did. I thought, oh, I'm up there. Anyway, soon realised that, wow, there's a lot out there. So it did almost, my confidence was quite high, and then it dropped. And I think that I kept going back. And I think that the reason why I'm saying this, I think so many people get their confidence knocked, but they don't keep chasing it.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that you've got to keep chasing what you want, and your confidence is going to improve as you chase it.
Yeah, I think I do compete. I go out pretty hard, but I've seen people who go out maybe once or twice and go, oh, it's not for me, I'm not going to do that. And then you sometimes they'll come back to class and they'll just stick with that.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll just kind of go completely, you never see them again. For me, I think with competing, it was a little bit different. I think I went out with the intention of, I'm just going to have a go.
Yeah.
Just going to see if I like it. I'm just going to see if it... And don't get me wrong, obviously, over the years, I mean, I've had, like, full-on, like, I can't breathe in the moments. Do you know what I mean? And it just, it's a horrible feeling. But I think the more you do it, the more you get used to it, the more you kind of control those nerves. And obviously, the last year... I was, like you say, just starting to get to that level. I'd got some nice gold trophies.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
And the thing was, well, I think for years, like you say, about the categories being smaller, over the last year or so, they've been so much bigger. And I think, like, for me, I do know, and this is, I think, an awful attitude to go with, that some people go, oh, there's not a lot of people in my category. Great, I'm going to be medal. I'm going to place. No. I want to challenge myself. True. I want to feel like I've earned what I've got. So the bigger the category for me, the better. And when I've won that, and I've won those categories with all those girls, like, women in, it's like, yes, because I know I've definitely worked for that and got it. So hopefully, obviously, once all the crappy restrictions are out the way, we can get back to it and do a bit more.
I know. It's weird what you said there. I'm not weird, but... So these people that have been to tournaments a couple of times and then not gone back, if they had won, do you think it would have been different?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I do think there's a lot of people who only go to win. And I think...
It's the outcome. Yeah. They want... I think... And this is something, guys, that are listening right now, this is something you can use in life. Because if you're always focused on the outcome, then you're never going to be happy. You've got to... That process.
But I think, like, with martial arts, we always say it's a journey. It's a journey anyway. Yes. So the competition side of things has still got to be that journey. Obviously, you've got to keep at it. You're not always going to... There's always going to be somebody out there who could possibly be better than you. And it sometimes just depends on the day. You might feel better that day. You might have had a good training camp, whatever.
Yeah.
You might have, like, in the run-up to it, or you might be in a different place. You might not have tried hard. Something might have come up. Obviously, we're adults. It could be work-related. It could be anything that's kind of going on. And it just changes how you are on that particular, like, tournament.
Yeah.
So, our fight night, as we've got.
We do have our fight night coming up, 10th of July. I'm very, very excited. But you're fighting on it.
I am.
How do you feel about that?
So, if, obviously, you don't know me, my forte is points fighting.
Yes,
which is,
yes, it is.
Fought on a mat. It's not fought in a ring. So, it's something that's, I guess, out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I am pushing myself to do this, so I am doing a continuous fight. It's not my forte, but at the end of the day, if I don't challenge myself, obviously, like you say, you'll never get any further. But also, this year, obviously, with everything that's gone on, there might not be an opportunity for me to fight points. So to get any kind of mat or ring time, these are my opportunities. So I've got to take them, like, when I can, to keep myself ticking over. And
yeah, for the guys listening as well, what's the difference between points and continuous?
So points fighting, I would say it's more, it's more technique based.
Oh,
it's faster.
Way quicker.
It's basically points, like, score your point, and then you come out, you reset, you start again. So basically, you've got to be the fastest, the most technical. It's
committed.
Got to be accurate. Yeah, you have to be committed. You have to commit to each shot. And then obviously continuous fighting is obviously kind of what most people expect kickboxing to look like. So it's your continuous kind of. So it's just got, like, constant scarring. Obviously, the round just keeps going on until it's finished.
Yeah, then you find out the thing with points, and then you know who's winning.
You know who's winning. That, going through.
And that is, like, the hardest thing, though. It's
great if you're up.
Oh, yeah. When you're up, you're like, yeah, I'm up, you know. Whereas when you're down, you can start chasing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the minute that you start chasing it, you then leave yourself more vulnerable, you're more likely to get hit, and all it takes is, like, one head kick, that's 3 points, and it's like, boom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Definitely. And continuous, it's like, you don't know. You don't know till the end of the full two, and, well, one,
yeah,
two,
unless,
three
unless you're, like, wiping the floor with then obviously it's quite obvious.
It's good, yeah. Sometimes you know, obviously you know, because you're like, I'm definitely winning this fight. Although, before, I really thought I was winning the fight and ended up losing. So I was like, what's happened there? Has that ever happened to you? Where you've thought you've... Obviously, I know you've done majority points, haven't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, I did do a lot of continues when I first started out. I think that, like, so... One of the things about confidence, I moved over to points because I was more confident in points than continuous. And obviously, there's a lot of strong ladies out there. I'm surprised I got a broken nose.
Hello.
But yeah, no, I don't think there's ever been a point where I thought, but like I have had a few split decisions.
Yes.
And that's when I think it's gutting if it's not split your way. Mm. Because you think, well, I was so close.
It was
so,
yeah. What about, I know when I've done points, fine, because I've done quite a lot, quite a lot of points. I'm not going to lie to you guys, I don't think I've ever been taught points, really. I just kind of went to tournaments and watched them do it. I was like, I can kick, I'll have a give it a go. But I remember quite a few times where I've scored points, and they just, like, haven't seen them.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Oh, and I've, like, watched videos back where I've, like, sidekicked them, and they've, like, moved back, and they're like, we didn't see it. They do this, don't they? We didn't see it. And I'm like, what? Like, how did you not see that? And I think the reason why I want to speak about this briefly is, how do you deal with that? Because I think that we can link this to life, in a sense, because sometimes you think you're going to get something, and then you don't, and it's kind of learning to deal with that.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that scenario?
I think I probably deal with it a lot better than other people in terms of, like, I'm quite calm. I've never lost my cool on the mats. Don't get me wrong, I lose my cool in training all the time. obviously, my coach will tell you that. but no, not on the mat. So, like, it is, I think I find it frustrating if you, especially in points, if you know it's contacted, you can feel it, you see it, and they don't score it, or they don't see it, or they say it's, you know, not enough. And not enough is so frustrating because you're like, but I know you saw it, but you just don't think I put enough into it.
Mm.
It's
got to be really clean with points. And the worst part is when they don't see it or it's not, and then the other person goes on to win. But if you'd got that point, you would have done.
Yeah.
But I guess it's going back to what I said before, that it shouldn't necessarily be about the outcome.
No.
It shouldn't necessarily be about...
That's like a bonus.
It is. And I think this is something that I'm trying really, really hard to do at the moment, is rather than focusing on what that outcome is and getting that outcome, when I get this, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people do, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I win that fight, then I'll be happy. When I win that title, then I'll be the best and everything will be okay. And it's like, that's not it.
No.
And if you don't enjoy leading up to it, like fight camp, is the most important time. The when you've actually got your fight, there's nothing more you can really do.
No.
It's like you've done the work. You've now got to almost just perform and do your thing. I'd really like to as well, because I think you're a very interesting woman, especially with all the knowledge that you've learned. No, I do. I always love talking to you. You've done so many other things, do you know what I mean? Other than just, well, obviously, other than just martial arts. You've done many, many other things. But do you want to, like, maybe talk through a couple of the qualifications that you've done? Maybe, like, pick some of your favourite ones? And, like, why? Why did you want to go down that path of getting qualifications?
So, obviously, initially, you train as a fitness instructor level 2, and level 2 release, obviously, is personal trainer level 3 if you want to go down that route. So I did want to go down that route. I did want to be a personal trainer. I wanted to help people lose weight, feel better about themselves, because primarily I work with women. It's not to say I don't take male clients, but when I first started, I needed to, like you say, gain that confidence with my client base, and also I just connected better with women.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, I start with my first male client next week,
very
which is quite
good.
Nice.
Very good.
So, yeah, I'm starting to broach more. So, yeah, males, if you're interested.
Yeah, yeah, give Kay a shout.
But, yeah, so I did those two. And then the first, so each year when you're a personal trainer, you are meant to do something called CPD, which is, for a lot of industries, career progression development.
Ah.
So you do qualifications to keep your knowledge up and this and that and other. So you can choose not to be as... I'm not sure if like stupid's the word, but like basically give all your time to these qualifications each year. So you can do lots of smaller qualifications. But when I thought about it, I thought if I'm going to do a qualification, it might as well be something decent, do you know what I mean? So I've always done, I mean, I did say after this year I'm going to turn it down and do smaller courses. But the
she won't do that. You're a go-getter.
I can't keep taking
I don't know if you'll ever stop. Like, honestly, I think it's one of them things where you... Although I know at the moment I messaged Kay the other, like last night, didn't I? And getting quite stressed because we're revising, but you love it.
No.
Secretly.
Not like that, no.
There's a little bit in there. When you've got that quality. Although it's the outcome, we shouldn't be focusing on the qualification, which is trying to enjoy it, isn't it?
Yes, but the first one that I did, I really did enjoy. So the first year when I did my CPD was sports conditioning. And because it was so related to obviously what we do, it was so useful in terms of just doing like exercises that maybe aren't so, like, obviously we do a lot of kicking and punching, but things that like have that kind of motion or that work the same muscle groups that then will benefit your performance. Mm-hmm. So to me, that obviously it was so relevant to what we did. That was one of our favourite ones to do, and probably because it was one of our first courses as well that I took on. The instructor that I had for that course was really like knowledgeable and really good. And I was challenging myself because I was working alongside some guy that had just come out of the army.
Oh, wow.
Getting to do box jumps that were as big as me. So yeah, that was, it was obviously quite fun, quite challenging.
Yeah, of course.
But I've done every, like, so I've done all sorts. I've totally varied, I think, what I can offer people. So I've done everything from like pre and postnatal pregnancy exercise, to group exercise. So obviously it's part of like the bounce, so you step and aerobics, all that kind of stuff. I've done yoga. There's a few that I think I've forgotten that I've done that are in there somewhere, but I think I've got the list is so long now. And I'm currently doing exercise referral, so obviously this was more obviously again about helping people, and if it's got kind of medical, certain medical conditions that I can kind of work with and try and make their life improve. So yeah.
I love it. I remember one time you sent me a list of all your qualifications and I looked at it, I was like, wow, I need to go to school. I was like, I need to get some I've got my GCSEs.
I have to now, though, when people ask, what have you done? I'm like, ah, oh, there's a folder. Let me just pull them all out. I'm like,
all
this.
All this. But you must enjoy it. I think that developing, it must be very important to you.
I enjoy learning. I do enjoy learning new stuff. I did say, like, obviously, like I say, after this one, I'm going to, like, tone it down for, like, in terms of, like, the actual qualifications that I do. But I do want to do more of, like, obviously, there's so much content out there now in terms of, like, YouTube videos, internet articles, and just getting more, like, from that. So just more, like, just gaining knowledge in a different way. Rather than doing a sit-down course that requires me to kind of study and meet a certain criteria each time. Mm-hmm. So I will still be learning, because obviously that's just me, and still be reading up on stuff and you know, like, obviously textbooks, manuals, all that kind of stuff. Obviously I've just ordered
a little bit more independent,
more independent learning.
I like that. I think that I like that type of learning, although I haven't actually gone and done like a qualification like you. I love going to these courses and stuff. Yeah. That's kind of where I get my education from. 100%. Now we're gonna wrap it up because it's flown by. But, and this is what I asked during Alyssa, so I'm going to ask you the same thing. I just like to leave these guys with some, like, wise words from Kay. Now, it can be, like, to do with life, it can be to do with martial arts, just something that these guys can take away and maybe think about or motivate them or inspire them or something. Do you know what I mean? Literally anything.
Tell you what, right, it's something that I said to I've got a little mini dragon now. I'm just going to take it back to this. So the other day, he's got amazing skills, but he's a little cheeky and he basically didn't always want to try his best. And I just said to him, I said, what is the point in you doing anything unless you do your best? So it's not about being the best, it's about doing the best that you can do. And I think that's a life lesson that we can all take. If you're going to do something, try and do it to your best ability.
I love that. I love it. That is so, so important. So guys, if you're listening, you need to listen to what Kay's saying, because that is true. You might as well give your all.
Yeah.
You might as well. If you're going to do something, you're going to set out on something, then give it your absolute best. I think this is something that we should do ourselves as adults, and it is definitely something that we should be teaching our kids. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is doing.
Definitely not.
It does not matter. It matters what you're doing and where you're going. And I think that something that links in really nice with what you just said is be in the moment. Because if you're in the moment, you can try your best.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're trying to do something, but you're thinking about what happened 3 months ago, or you're thinking about what's going to happen in 3 months' time, then you can't actually try your best while you're in that moment. Wow, God, I could keep talking about that just for like another hour. But we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And please make sure you tune in again next week where we're going to be meeting one of the other instructors. Will you come back on, Kay?
Yeah,
can we do this again? Yeah, we'll have a different subject. And we'll talk more. So I hope you guys have a great week and I look forward to speaking to you soon.